Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back, everybody. This is Say No, Stay Low, Play Broke podcast. And don't worry about our names because we saying no, staying low, and playing broke.
Word, man.
Chilling, chilling, man. Today we're going to talk about these recession-proof businesses. I think we might be going into a recession. I don't know. But it's a few signs that I've been seeing. I saw the price of gold went up the highest that it's been. Since 2013, and then, you know, every time there's a war, from even World War One, right after the wars, it followed with a recession. There's a few more signs. The job market only hit 145,000 jobs in December. It's a little lower than what they expected. And then,
just to tap in, you know, we ain't no experts or nothing. We just giving our. You know what I'm saying? What we thinking.
Right, hypothesis.
Exactly. That's what it is. And shit, we hoping ain't no recession, but me, I'm in the job market, you know, 9 to 5 guy. So I just been peeping up on a lot of signs because the recession has affected me where I've been laid off and I know how that hit is. And you know what I'm saying? It was kind of a blessing because shit, now I'm on my toes. I make sure I have multiple streams of income because I know how it is to, you know what I'm saying, get laid off. And even in the past couple years since I've been down here in Houston, man, I've been seeing a lot of layoffs. You know, I work for an oil and gas company. I work for another private people, and they just cutting the head off and getting that overhead down. So I'm kind of, you know, keeping my eyes open, and I believe it's coming as well. Like, they trying to cut the highest salary people out, you know what I'm saying, to save money. So we ain't no expert, but let's, you know what I'm saying, let's tap in and get into it.
And then that's another thing. You say Houston. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they was bringing some stats to my attention. They were saying that Houston is the one of the cities with the highest spike in rental rates. Like, so nobody's getting raises at their jobs, even if people are employed. Nobody getting raises, but in 2009, the average one-bedroom apartment was $690, but today the average one-bedroom apartment like $960 or $1,000. So
right,
you know what I'm saying?
And that's something that's real big because a lot of people are migrating from the Chicago's, the New York, and the LA's. You know, with the price of cost of living there, you know what I mean? They migrating here, so you know, people from smaller cities and here. You know what I'm saying? This may be a high rent, but if you coming from New York or LA, like, you getting blessed. So, you know what I'm saying? This
right.
A big rush here. You know what I mean? So a lot of people taking advantage of, you know what I'm saying, people moving here too, knowing that some, you know, people got to eat. So, you know, they don't have to get these raises. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then that's another thing you told me too. You were saying the new full-time is not 40 hours a week. The new full-time is 32 hours a week.
I've been to multiple jobs in the last interviews that I've been to. They offer you benefits at 30 to 32 hours. Full-time, you know, I've been working since I was 14, always been 40 hours. But now these new rules are, you know what I mean, 32 hours, you eligible for benefits. But if you're getting 32 hours, how is you going to, you know what I'm saying, pay for benefits.
Yeah, 664, totally different than 80 hours.
Exactly, you know what I mean? So why would you even opt in to get those benefits and you only getting 64 to 70 hours?
How you supposed to pay for them benefits when you're getting less money?
Exactly, and they know they giving you the options for their behalf so they can show that they're offering those. And you know what I mean? Like, they got a bunch of loopholes that I'm really paying attention to. So that's why this podcast is important for me as well, because you know what I mean? I'm understanding what's going on. I've been a guy, like I said, been working since I was 14. Nobody in my family, nobody I was around was talking entrepreneurship. And you know what I mean? It was more like get a job and, you know what I'm saying, don't go to jail. And it's kind of like you made it. But shit, how these jobs playing it, man, you be out the door before you know it. So it is good to start businesses and things like that. And I think the balance comes from somebody. Man, when was the last time you worked for somebody?
I want to say 2000 and maybe 11, maybe 2011. That's the last time I worked for somebody.
You got somebody right now that's, you know, get up and go to work every day, and somebody that hasn't, you know what I'm saying, been to work since 2011, like out the mud, out the grind. So I think it's a balance because I can speak for people in the job market, and you know what I'm saying? He can speak that entrepreneurship. So,
right,
you know, we
right.
don't want to keep rambling on. We're going to have plenty, you know what I'm saying, sessions to get to, you know what I'm saying, get more in depth. But, you know, it is, you know what I'm saying, it is, I feel, you know, this market ain't what it is, the job market. So
do you remember the last recession? You remember what was going on in the last recession? You remember like where you was at mentally and, you know, if he was working or not?
Definitely, man. I was back in St. Louis, Missouri at the time. I had one of the best jobs you can probably get with a high school education for a big company, man. And it was a solid company that was 50 years strong. And I remember getting laid off and getting walked out the door. And not along with me, you know what I'm saying, a bunch of people that's been there 15 years that had houses and, you know, in the mortgage crisis. And I just remember getting laying off, and that shit was a blow because, you know, I was a young guy, probably 23, 24 years old, making pretty decent money for that time, and everything just stopped. You know, I had a daughter at the time. I had a, you know, apartment, and I had to get rid of everything and move back in with my mom. So I definitely remember it like it was yesterday. And like I said, that was a wake-up sign. Because I was a little young, making a little money, feeling a little cocky, feeling myself. And that shit definitely humbled me down. So I definitely remember the times. I used to play that Jeezy every day, man.
That recession. You know,
I played it every day because I felt that in my soul, man. I remember
it was like, times was different. I remember like all the jobs that my friends had in high school. Like the, you know, the food industry jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was older people taking them jobs where younger people couldn't even, you know, go and get them jobs because even if I'm hiring somebody, I'm probably going to want to go with somebody that's older that got a little sense, you know what I'm saying, before I hire somebody younger. So it was like the younger people may have hit it harder. I ain't going to say harder. Well, yeah, harder because you young and you don't even have direction. You don't even know which way to go, man.
Exactly, and then
you're competing with these old heads.
Exactly, and that's a good thing. So it's good you said that because once I got laid off, I went to a temp service. Man, I was making $8 an hour. So I'm working with people that's coming from them General Motors, making $22, $25 an hour, $30 an hour, brand new cars on the parking lot, and they had to go down to $8 an hour.
Whew.
But that was all it was. And their ego was, I used to make this and I used to make that. And it's kind of like, yeah, I understand, but motherfucker, you making $8 right now. So fuck what you used to make. It, you know what I'm saying? The market tight. And I mean, people had, you know what I'm saying, a certain lifestyle they was living. I remember working with a bunch of older people that had to come take $8 an hour jobs just to put food on the table. So I definitely remember that shit. My pay got cut in half, but you know what I mean? Since me coming up the way I did, I was able to adapt. And shit, I got hired on to the job after 2 years, you know, working as a temp worker. But I definitely remember that. So, yeah, I definitely know how the OGs and the older people had to.
I remember, like, when it was crazy. The streets even slowed up. Everything.
Yeah, so everything, man.
I remember when it wasn't as bad back in 01 when they crashed into the Twin Towers and stuff.
I can
remember going to school, and I was at school while it was happening. We watching it on the news, but like the next morning, that's when gas went up. I mean, that's when gas went from like $1 to, man, gas went up. I remember that shit. I remember driving down Broadway, my mama having to get some gas, and motherfucker ain't getting no full tank.
That same
$15 that was filling your tank up, shit, that shit putting you right up under half.
And you see what's going on, man. We just starting up, you know what I'm saying, the decade off, the presidential election coming up, you know, it's, you know what I'm saying, this war shit going on, you know what I'm saying, the cost of living through the roof and nobody's getting raises, the student loan debt crisis is just ridiculous.
This was last year when it wasn't a war. They spent like over $600 billion on military, like equipment and just personnel. And I'm quite sure this year they were saying they're gonna spend a little bit more, so they're gonna spend close to like $1 trillion on military stuff. So they already cutting like 700,000 people off our food stamps. So I'm quite sure that money from like food stamps and welfare is going to the war. So right. I'm just saying, I remember back at the last recession, I don't know if you remember, but people was wearing the urban clothes, like the urban streetwear, like the Rockawears and Rock all of that.
The Sean Johns.
And that's when people started wearing the skinny clothes and the Chucks and the Vans and the cheap clothes. And they made the cheaper clothes look cool. I mean, people, I don't know. This is just me observing it. But I'm like, it costs less in material to make these tighter clothes. So people went from wearing, you know, going to the urban shoe stores, they start going to Urban Outfitters and stuff.
Right, right. You could get three pairs for the price of one. And still, you know, because that's a part of our culture, you know what I mean? Getting fly. So you can put on some skinny Levi's and a graphic tee.
Yeah, but when the recession was over, now everybody's still wearing designer. So we're going to see how the fashion going to change if it's another recession. Like, people don't really see that because everybody follows and stuff. So, but, you know, I ain't going to say everybody follows, but a majority of people, they following something. So, and people, you know, these big companies, they put these trends out there. They put it on the popular person. And they still trying to get their sales because they sales are low too, because people not buying cars, people not buying clothes. They even just made the Wall Street Journal just announced recently that people not buying jewelry as much. See, and that's another sign of a recession. So people not buying that much in jewelry, then, you know, it's coming. People tightening up. I got customers who was using our services Monday through Friday. They cutting back to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or you know, twice a week, or, you know, people cutting back. So
and if you pay attention, you can see that. You can see it, but like you said, if you just living in the world, you know, doing your thing and your head tuned into the internet, I can see why you can miss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because so everything is an illusion.
You can miss it because everything. But if you notice, all this affiliate marketing, you know, like you said in the previous podcast, you know, all these people are with these millions of followers are getting free merch, getting free products and free service to market this stuff because everybody's trying to get a piece of the pie. You got monsters like Amazon, you know, and things of that nature that's just shutting shit down. Like, they're just crushing all of the small businesses and things like that. So, man, it's definitely time to, you know what I'm saying, wake up and, you know what I'm saying, pay attention to what's going on, man. And it's a lot of information out here. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy to get access to it. And it's just, you know what I'm saying, only the strong gonna survive. So it's definitely, think this episode is real important for what's going on, I believe. Yeah. We could be wrong. I hope we wrong. But I think, you know, in the near future, man, shit gonna come to a crumble, man.
Yeah, it's time for nepotism. Nepotism, if you know what that means, that's what it's time for. It's time for you to link up with your people and make it happen. You know, you ain't got to go and rent everybody renting somewhere different. Y'all better get one big spot and everybody chip in $500-$600 a piece. And you know what I mean? It may be four people in the house, two, three people going to work. Let the other two, one or two people stay at home and,
you know,
create a business. And one person watch the kids and, you
make
know,
sure one get on the bus, one. Yeah.
Yes.
That's how it is. And one thing I learned from living in Houston, which is one of the, you know, most diverse cities we got out here, is a lot of the, you know, Hispanic culture, man, they practice that, you know, they keep they families, you know what I'm saying, they kind of build it up, and that's something I learned.
They buy one
house at a time, and they branch out. They got, you know, somebody putting the kids on the bus. They got, you know, everybody working together, and that's how they flourish, man. They buying food by the bulk, and they doing it. I've tried that with a few family members, but it just didn't work. I even tried it because I understood it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Hell, shit, let's get a bigger place and let's come work together. But, you know, just how we programmed and, you know, how we was brought up, it just didn't work. But
there's a lot of competition within us. And another thing is, I noticed for my experience with just families and stuff, it's usually the older women who may be the leaders, you know, and not to take away from, because this is not how every family is, but we just need men to step up and be men. You know what I mean? Stand like the women want us to be leaders, but the day you show that you weak and you're not a leader, they walking all over your ass. So it's just time to stand up and play Phil Jackson. We gotta coach this shit. So and we gotta, you know, you see, and I fall victim of that too, where I let certain shit go on. I'll be like, fuck it, I don't care what these motherfuckers do. But you know, that shit just make the situation worse. You just gotta step up, like, look, man, we coming together. We about to make this shit crack. You sitting over there in that corner, you get over here in this motherfucking corner. We're going to come and eat at the table together, and we're going to get out here and, you know what I'm saying, defend each other, because it'd be the pettiest reasons why motherfuckers ain't coming together and getting no money. Like, we outsourcing all this money, giving this money to everybody else, man. We need to, that's the thing, is to try to hold on to as much money as possible. So it may feel like, oh, I got my own shit. People always bragging about, I got my own. I got this. I got that. Ain't nobody got shit.
This is fucking the debt to income ratio. Tell it all. Man. Listen, man, like I say, man, if we not educating ourselves financially, we not educating ourselves on entrepreneurship. And I just want to share, you know what I'm saying, just something quick is, you know, when I moved, I'm just thinking that, you know, I heard about Texas and Dallas, Houston, and just how it's so many jobs and there's so much opportunity. I'm thinking I was just going to move her and stuff was just going to fall in my lap. And I thought that was going to be my happiness, was to get money. As I study money, I study credit, I study debt. Like, you know what I mean? People ain't really having it like they are. You can be making $500 a week to $12,000, you know what I'm saying, a week, and you can still be living paycheck to paycheck. You know what I mean? It's just all how you put that shit together and all how you just look at it. And it's just something I'm learning every day. And, you know, it's weird. I'm looked at as a weirdo for trying to live this say no, stay low, play broke lifestyle, which I'm still learning how to do because of my ego crushing me. Like, I need to get fly. We need to go on trips. You know what I mean? I need to go out to the concerts and the clubs, but I just know that shit is going to lead me into a dead end wall with me sensing a recession coming on the way. So I got to stay, like you said, be the man and stay strong, stay solid, and say no to the temptation, to the family, to everything, because we'll fold out here quick, you know?
Yeah, I let my ego go. I had to stop following all them tennis shoe blogs I was following on the internet. Like, I don't even want to put that shit in my head. I don't even think about shoes. Once my white forces get dirty, I'm going to get another pair of white forces. I'm just going to cheap ass pair of New Balance or something. I'm not buying all them goddamn shoes no more. I don't even be having nowhere to put that shit in my motherfucking closet, especially with a growing family. Like, white forces, that's it. And that's fly enough for me. Go with just
about everything. I was getting back on my white t-shirt thing. I'm not fit to have a closet full of fucking clothes that by the time I wear it again is out of style. You know what I mean?
Like, two seasons of fashion.
Exactly. That's exactly how this shit go. Like, by the time you wear that shit again, the shit is out of style with this trendy stuff going on. You know, if it's some occasion where I need to, you know what I'm saying, go get fly, I'm shopping the day of, but I'm not just bulking up and stocking up on clothes no more. So I'm back to the white tee, the white forces myself. Like, that's the whole.
And when I get my white forces, I'm looking for a plug where I can get 20% off if they work there. Like, I'm trying to cut every corner I can get.
You got to.
And I told you what I do. I get my white forces. This what I do. I get my white forces. I know a chick that work in. I know a few people that work in different places. And I'm gonna get, if forces $100, I'm gonna pay probably like $80 for them. So I get them for about $80. The most I pay is probably $85 for some forces. And then I'm I wear them for 3 months. And then I put them back on eBay and I sell them for $50. And just go put them towards another pair of new forces and just add $30 with them.
Right.
So I do that shit every season. Every season I do that. I only wear forces. And you might see me with some New Balance on occasionally. I wear New Balances when I'm finna go meet with new customers and stuff, different races. So they won't think I'm too urban. I put on the New Balances and a collar shirt, and they like, you know, that's my square look. So
right. I feel you 110%, man. So now we just speaking on some real shit. We, you know, hoping, you know what I'm saying, people listening, these episodes gonna get bigger and better. We just starting off, so man, if y'all need to tap in or got any questions, got any recommendations, you know what I'm saying, hit them up on, you know, Instagram. We're gonna have a bunch of links. We're gonna have a bunch of another different a bunch of other ways y'all can communicate with us. But
yeah, we got the voicemail too. It's anchor.fm/snslpb and then /messages. And that you can send us a voicemail straight to the podcast, and we can listen to your voicemail. You got any topics that you want us to discuss? But that's anchor.fm/snslpb/messages.
Yep, definitely, man. So y'all want to tap in, and like I said, we just starting off. We catching the vibes. We just getting it right. But, man, it's time for us to grow. And we always looking for information as well. You know what I mean? From different people to drop some gems or different recommendations or give their opinion if they disagree with us. This is an open platform for that. And that's what it's for. It's like I said, as a disclaimer, these are our views, our opinions, and our morals. You know what I mean? So definitely make sure y'all tap in, keep listening. It's just gonna get bigger and better.
And then we got that's another thing I wanted to go over, just all the recession proof type of businesses, because you know some people may get laid off. So I'm not you know hoping that anybody get laid off. I want people to keep their job, especially if they want them. But for anybody who want to start their own business, I'm so deep into entrepreneurship, I don't even think I can go and get a job at this point. It'll be real crazy, but I hope it don't get to that point where I even need to go and do something like that. So with that being said, y'all make sure y'all go buy my books or something off Amazon so I don't have to go get no job. But a couple of the businesses that were recession proof in the last recession, and this, I read an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch probably back in like 2009, 2010. It was somewhere in between 2008 and 2010, but it was a list of all the recession-proof businesses. And at that time, it was chocolate, alcohol, tobacco, and pets. Was it any other? Alcohol, tobacco, chocolate, pets. Yeah, those were the four top recession-proof businesses at the time. And I don't smoke tobacco. I don't really eat chocolate. So I went on ahead and got into the pet industry, and that's when I started the pet industry for myself. You know, I'm like, this recession proof. I didn't even have a dog at the time. I had never had a dog like at my mom's house growing up or nothing. So it was just a trial and error thing, and that was back in 08, and I just been in the pet industry ever since. But it's a few new businesses because the world has changed. The world is totally different now. We don't have these big box stores anymore. We don't have the Circuit Cities and the Best Buy. We got a lot of stuff online and, you know, a lot of businesses that you can create online. And I think if we all looked at ourselves as an asset, even when you're going into these companies, like isn't a lot of females who work these call center jobs, for example. That's just one example. These call center jobs where those are going to start fading away. Because they not going to want to be paying for these big commercial spaces. Them commercial spaces are not cheap. So they going to want to cut back. And then you see they starting to let a lot of them work from home. But that's going to fade out to the people that's working from home. Once they quit, they going to start replacing them people with people from out in the other countries. So if you know that you good on the phones and stuff, going to set up you an account on Fiverr. And you can start doing call center work from home through other companies, and you just represent yourself as like an independent contractor versus you going to, you know, work for a company or waiting for a company to call you to come back to work. So you know, just stay ready, stay dangerous. So you can, you right, know what I'm right. saying? Be in that mode.
But definitely. What, like the Ubers, what you think about the Ubers and the DoorDashes and yeah. things like that?
All of that, because I mean, and the thing is, I don't know how effective they will be, because people
in the recession,
people are not going to be traveling as much. As like, for example, that's another, they just reported that a lot of these Airbnbs, people cutting back, because a lot of people who, you know, use Airbnbs or people who traveling for jobs and traveling for companies. And if the company is cutting back their traveling budgets, then the Airbnb is not going to be making as much money. They're not going to be booked for 30 days no more. A lot of people not going out to Cali like they was at first. Cali just hit a big drop in those
Airbnbs. And a lot of people, they say they're not sending them out. They can't even afford to send a lot of these people out.
Right. So people just working from work. A lot of people working from home. So I'm not saying the Uber is not going to work, but you know, you're just an independent contractor, just keep your account open and just follow the patterns or follow where the hot spots are, like the airports. You know what I'm saying? I think that's where it's busy. I think people aren't going to continue to eat for like DoorDash and stuff like that.
I got a couple notes down, recession-proof industries. You got your food and beverage.
Yeah, people gonna eat, and people, like, when people depressed, people gonna eat, people gonna smoke, people gonna drink. Yeah, and they gonna eat chocolate too.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, they got retail consignment. They got information technology.
Shout out to my boy with Lace Guys. You can buy and sell sneakers with him, but it's gonna be a lot of consignment shops. Or if you want to, you can start doing that yourself. To buy and sell clothes, buy and sell shoes, instead of people not going to be going to buy brand new stuff. People going to learn how to get fly on a budget now.
Exactly. Repair industry, like they say, in the cars and things like that, breaking down.
It's crazy. I got some same ones in my notes too.
Yep. Health and senior services.
Another good one too. Another good company to start. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but it's a security service. Because when money get tight, cats get to robbing. It's robbing season. A lot of these a lot of places that are gonna be open, they might not even want to hire security to work under them, because then they gotta pay benefits. So they might have to outsource. Yeah, so that you can start you a security company and get you a couple cats up under you and get you a couple contracts with a couple companies and y'all secure these buildings or something. So I think that's a good business.
Yeah, I ain't think about that. Cleaning service always one, because no matter what, you got to make sure shit stay clean.
So that's the thing too. You really just want to look at like independent contracting services, because a lot of people or a lot of companies, they gonna want to cut these benefits, because they the ones who paying. They paying half on your benefits. You might be paying another half, or they might be paying 3/4, and you may be paying a fourth or something like that. But so all these jobs, people still need this work done. But instead of them hiring people,
locking you in.
Yeah, they want contractors so they can cut around on benefits.
I seen something like that. What's going on too is like it was a companies, they're going to want to do is instead of locking you in for 5 days a week, they're going to do you as needed. Instead of having that maintenance man, you know what I'm saying, on staff waiting for somebody break, like you were saying with these apps and different things.
Thumbtack.
They can hit independent contractor, get the best bid, the lowest bid that they can get, and they call people in as needed instead of just having you on the clock all day. Waiting for something to break, they're just going to call people on demand. You know what
so
I mean?
So the men out there, get y'all some power drill sets while y'all up. Before the money slow up, get y'all some drills and stuff, because somebody might want you to, you know what I'm saying, hang some TVs up in the CarMax or something. So instead of them having somebody on staff doing it.
Staff, they're going to just call and pay you by the hour. And they might, because...
Tell them how much you want to get paid. In most cases, they're going to ask you what's your rate.
Exactly. And what I was saying, instead of them paying somebody by the hour, you know what I'm saying, they just gonna call as needed. You know what I mean? Which, how many times the toilet gonna break? You know what I'm saying? How many times they gonna need them TVs hung up? So they'll rather call somebody three times a week and to have you on the clock for 40 hours.
Sitting on the clock, because I know, I ain't doing shit today. I put all these TVs up yesterday. I ain't doing shit tomorrow.
Exactly. and they getting hip to this shit, too. And they get the bid. And they get the bid on who they get to pick. And when people hungry and thirsty, them prices drop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go from charging $50, you know what I'm saying, to charging $40, but then you might get, you know, somebody on the side like, hell, for $25, I can come now.
Right.
That's where the bidding wars come in. That when people got to eat and people get hungry, they trying to get work.
And that's all a part of the gig industry, though. Like, even what you said, Uber and DoorDash and the Postmates and just all of those, the thumbtack jobs, those all under gigs. Fiverr, you know, you can buy your app and learn how to design flyers and stuff and get, you know what I'm saying, $10, $5, like, each gig. You might be making, you know, $50 in a day. That's better than making no money, because even if you think about it, like, some people might go to work 6 hours out the day or something. Let's say if you got a part-time job and you working 5-6 hours a day and they paying you $14 an hour, that's still only about $65 before taxes. You know what I mean? So that ain't, you may be able to make that from home from doing surveys on a computer or Easy Shift. I like Easy Shift. You can get on Easy Shift, and I haven't done it in the past 6 months, but it's before then. If I'm in a grocery store, I cut on Easy Shift. They might have like, oh, take a picture of all the stuff in this aisle, and we're gonna give you $10. I go take a picture of all the chips in the aisle, and they send $10 to my PayPal just for taking pictures in the chip aisle. So that's
And the thing is, a lot of egos gonna have to go out the window to do some of these things. I know when we up, a lot of times we like, ain't
man, no way I get on Easy Shift. I don't care how much money I got. If I'm in the store and somebody's saying they gonna give me $10 to take some pictures, I don't give a fuck.
That's how you think, because you get it. But if you come from shit, having your own corner office, you know what I'm saying, and your big iMac on the desk right now. I'm saying right now.
Right.
But shit get real. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able. So it's good to have that open mind.
Being out. Friend don't see me.
Exactly. Like, see, I'm out here on the grind in the trenches. Like, I don't give a fuck. Nobody say what they want, man. You got to get it how you live. So when that time do come, you in that comfortable space, because one thing, when the shit crashed, you know what I'm saying, always in the history of this country, it always go back.
Man, people was offing themselves in that last recession. People couldn't even handle that. It was a lot of foreclosures.
I think if it happened again, it's people really, because of this social media, like you were saying, that shit wasn't a big presence. Like, shit gonna slip. Even though
we haven't seen a recession where social media on your phone. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah,
that's,
you know,
like,
how many businesses getting ran off of that? Off of social media alone. Like, man, that shit, the clubs, the promoters, the models, come on, man. Like,
another thing that happened in the last recession is Dollar Generals, the Family Dollars, all those stores, they blew up. They wasn't as big as they are now, where you see them and, you know, you see Dollar Tree in River Oaks. You know what I mean?
Right.
These Dollar Trees, and I don't know if it was one in River Oaks, you know, a long time ago, but these type of stores weren't everywhere like they are now. And so those type of industries where you can buy generic products for cheaper, or products that's not named brands for cheaper, even with, you know, getting, you come out with my daughter was saying she want to get her own, she want to sell her own phone cases. She found the company on the internet, on social media. She showed it to me. I forgot the name of the company. I ain't going to say it no way, because I don't even want to keep shouting all these businesses out. They ain't giving us no money. But they selling phone cases for like $30, $40. And she like, Daddy, I know I can get these same cases and sell them for $10. You know what I'm saying? She can get them for pennies on a dollar and sell them for $10. So if you can come up with ways to sell these expensive products for much cheaper, then you'll be winning in a recession because people want these products. People feel that they need these products still, but they don't want to pay. They're not going to want to pay that $40 and $50. Like I said, people going to go from wearing designers to look at my Chucks. You know what I'm saying? Right. They're going to be like, I got all the color Chucks instead of having on them Louis.
Right. And the thing is with that too, I believe, you know, a lot of these people that do have all these ideas, when they sitting on the shelf, they sell them to these Burlingtons, these Rosses, you know what I'm saying? These Five Belows and these places like that, because it's just sitting on the shelf. And they got
I've been watching that Five Below stock just paying attention, because I know we going to it. It's like at $20-something right now. I know that mug going to go up like in the next 2-3 years just based off and the time we in.
I noticed there, it ain't Five and Below no more. They got a $10 section. They got $5.55 and $6. Yes, sir.
Oh, so man, I ain't know that.
I went in Five and Below. I seen a $10 section. And nothing was – I seen stuff over $5. So come on now. Because guess what, man? Where they getting this stuff from? These companies that got these ideas that can't compete with the Amazons and the, you know what I'm saying, these big monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
They got to get rid of it, because guess what? It's a new trend coming. If it ain't moving, by the time they print it out, get the production and get it back to them, it's something new. So those companies are coming in, eating up, buying up the bulk. You can come get all these products for pennies on a dollar. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like things we just need to pay attention to, just like that. Five and Below, they didn't. Shit, I ain't Five and Below no more. I'll tell you that.
If we was going to recession, and let's say you about to lose your job or something like that, what's a business that, or what's a venture? Which lane you going down? What you want to do if something like that happened?
Like you said, I get on my gig thing. I get on these apps and I be on my gig hustle, like, you know what I'm saying, doing the little maintenance things, trying to find little cleaning gigs. I definitely try to, you know what I'm saying, get the family together where we can bring in money in one household, but I definitely try to gig market. I definitely cut back expenses, like I said, try to, you know what I'm saying, bring the family together until the storm over. And I just, honestly, man, I get on the hustle, like gig, doing whatever the fuck that's hot at the time. You know what I mean? And, you know, still pick up a bullshit job and shit, gig it out as much as I can and cut back. What would you see yourself in that lane if it hit?
I believe if, you know, something like that hit, I mean, or when it hit, because even if it don't happen now, that type of stuff happening. Even whenever you got a Republican as president, I believe that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You know, they kind of like, it's no middle class when it's a recession. But
should they say?
I mean, when it's a Republican office,
they say shit. That shit about to be obsolete in a minute.
Yeah, and that's unless you get another person in office. But I truly believe when it happened, I believe that these states gonna start like every state gonna legalize marijuana. I definitely believe that. So it's a lot of you know, the marijuana industry is, I'm not saying I get into that, but if you look at some of these some of their stocks are on a penny market. Like, they already making a breathalyzer for marijuana. So when you get pulled over and your breath smell like weed, then you can get a ticket, because that's how they gonna make they. That's how the police in the states gonna make their money. So then they got something in that industry. And then another thing I was just telling somebody the other day was, man, it'll be tight if somebody can come out with a vegan Snicker. You know, like the Snicker candy?
Yeah.
If somebody can come out with a vegan Snicker bar, and I'll try to get that into the grocery stores.
Right.
As, you know, like,
but the thing see, you know, that, I think the shit, the damn Snicker bar gonna probably cost you $4-5.
Nah, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, man. It don't take them that much to make it. What you replacing the dairy products with some almond milk or something?
Right.
You know, it ain't gonna be too much of a difference. And it's just a way to you know, to get around that stuff. But that, and then there's another thing, like you said, the food industry. This just if I didn't already have a business too. Like with me, you know, I'm in a pet industry, so I'm just gonna find lucrative ways. I like to find different ways to eat within the pet industry. I might change my prices around with my services, because people love their pets, and people not trying to let their pets go. And you know, the pets was gonna keep them sane. So
right.
I'm gonna still buckle down on that. But if I wasn't in, if I didn't have any money, I'd be trying to make some type of chocolate or some type of food. But the food thing I would do is I figure out, because you see, like, that's the time McDonald's thrives off the dollar menu and stuff like that. People gonna thrive off that. So I would try to figure out a way to locally, you know, beat the DoorDashes. You know, you got I feel like it's kind of expensive when you order DoorDash, the delivery fee and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I will make, you know, my own food. I go get a shared kitchen space, and you can go create your own dishes. Even let's say if it was a pizza, let's say it's a pizza, right?
Right.
Let's say I'm gonna make St. Louis style pizza. You know, they got the best. I ain't gonna say the best, but you know, some of the best pizza I done had is some that St. Louis style pizza. So I make it like that. I do it in a shared kitchen. I get some dope ass boxes. You know, that presentation is a motherfucker. I wouldn't even have no location where you got to come in and get the pizza. I do nothing but delivery out there, shared kitchen, with whatever food I do, but I make the small personal pieces. I wouldn't even do no big pieces. I make all fucking $5 and $6 pieces and make it where the delivery ain't shit but a dollar. But I start, let's say if I was in Houston, I just do all inside the Beltway. You know what I'm saying? Or inside 610.
But shit, the thing with me looking at it,
yeah,
shit, you can get a Little Caesars for $5, the motherfucker big as a, you know what I mean?
But you still gotta go get it.
That's why I was just saying, I think that's a great idea. But like you saying, with the small personal, you gotta think in a recession, you're going to have 6 people in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I ain't think about that. But whatever it is, I just threw pizza out there. But
that's what I'm saying. I think there was, when you said small person shit, make that large. And like you said, I'm bringing it to you for a dollar.
Just figure out a way how to get food to people for cheaper, because people are going to get cut off their food stamps. They making it where you got to have a job or something part-time to get food stamps or something like that. I don't know what it is, but they making it where you got to, it's going to be different rules to getting a food stamp. So it's going to be a lot of people who don't have benefits to go and get this type of stuff. So and people got to eat. So
yeah, I'll
make some food for cheaper. You know what I'm saying? Right. People may want to get some vegan food. A lot of the world going vegan now. I figure out how to make that vegan food cheaper. I go to these vegan places, that shit be $15, $16 a dish.
I wasn't thinking about, that's a good idea, man, to go to a lot of these jobs and things like that. Because, you know, a vending machine, shit, a bag of chips would cost you $3. And you set up shop and you know what I'm saying, go to a lot of these, you know what I'm saying, these companies that are still making it through the recession. You pull up with some hot meals. You know what I'm saying? Hot burgers, hot pizzas on the parking lot at a certain time. People gotta eat, because shit, a soda and a bag of chips will cost you $5 in the vending machine. So I definitely think that's a dope idea. I ain't even think on that standpoint.
Yeah, and I haven't even did no research on food and stuff like that. So don't even take my word. I'm just thinking, like, right off the top, like, if I was to get into starting a business or something, I'm going to want to get into something I know that's going to move. I'm not going to go and try to start no clothing line during the recession. Exactly. That's just me personally, because I feel like it'll be harder to get that stuff off. Like, you'll be, that's when you start feeling like, oh, my people don't support you. Don't support me. No, your people ain't got no money. They broke. They can't support you. They can't afford to buy no $40 like, sweater right now. When
and it goes back. Like I said, people got to eat. People need their car fixed. People need their shit cleaned. And everybody gonna be looking for the best bargain they can get. And you know, it makes sense. So next where it goes back to, you know what I'm saying, the food, you know, people and their pets, like you said, they dog gonna eat shit just like they eat, or you know what I'm saying? However, whatever the case may be, but like you saying, finding ways to cater to that what we've just listed. You know what I'm saying? People gotta eat, people gotta get their shit fixed. You know what I'm saying? And that's really the main things right there, man. People, these businesses got to keep they shit together, sanitary, you know, so.
Yeah, so before we get off the line, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, recap what the industries that we were saying that's recession-proof. We got the security industry, pet industry, chocolate, food, alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, the gig industry, consignment, and then the dollar store industries, cheap products. If you do got some money put to the side, Warren Buffett said best, that's the time that, you know, that's when stuff, the stock's gonna drop, the real estate market gonna drop, that's when you can buy all this stuff and then the price gonna come back up.
And it's funny you said the Warren Buffett thing, because that's what they were saying, to save the money for a rainy day. So basically, shit, when shit falls, if you stacking it up, you come and get ready to pick up all the pieces. So while everybody's selling and getting rid of shit, you come in and grab what you can and hold tight. So when it do go back up, shit, you eating.
Yeah, and the name of that marijuana company that's making the breathalyzer, I just found that they call Hound Labs, but they just raised $30 million. And they, you know, they like one of the first companies who doing the marijuana breathalyzer. I'm quite sure they gonna hit the stock market, you know what I'm saying? Try to get some of these stocks low right now, and you know, once the rain over, you're gonna be up.
Right. And one thing that I'm glad you said this before we tune out is, shit, make sure you protect yourself. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Crime rate.
Man.
The robberies, the kidnappings, the drug addicts.
Oh, you cats out here. Yeah.
Like, people gonna be looking like fools. So make sure you protect yourself, bear arms and shit. Keep your family close, because all the addicts, all the druggies, you know, all the people that can't eat, all the depressed people, like, man, the sex, people gonna be selling. You know what I mean? I don't think that's gonna be
that's definitely recession-proof business. Selling that.
That's gonna be that horn going.
At 40, you might be able to slide with that 30.
Yeah, that 15, 25 on the right, dude. So I definitely say that.
You a repeat customer?
Hey, 10, 15 might get you a long way, man. Eat a piece and smoke a little weed with them. Ain't no telling what they might do.
That Reggie from the store back floating around.
Hey, I'm telling you. So you better start getting your firepower ready, man. Staying on point, for real. So, shit, I'm glad you brought that up. So I wanted to say that before we get out of y'all, you know what I'm saying, made it through the 50 minutes. And we're going to be coming back bringing shit, man, 2-3 times a week. And, man, just tune in, man. And continue to say no, stay low, play broke. And we got to live this lifestyle right now while we still up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we can have something to come and pick up.
And make sure y'all go to the page anchor.fm/snslpb. And y'all can make donations if y'all think we preaching to y'all. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can go on Amazon.com. You type in Say No, Stay Low, Play Broke. You can get the book. It's a real short book. It's $7 on there. So, you know, keep y'all heads up and y'all say no, stay low, and play broke.
100.